Okay, this is Clint Locklear for Trapping Radio, or that is Learned the Cat Whisperer from a photo, which I will see later on. Before we get started with the show, there's not going to be any music, there's no editing, so I'm almost scared to death to do this because we're sitting around a big table with a lot of people. And this is our last class this year down in Texas at our Texas Predator School, and I have no idea where this is going. I'm praying that this will get uploaded tomorrow if the internet allows us to do it. So I'm going to start from one way, and I don't know how you're going to know who's talking once they get started because this is audio, but you are?
Jennifer Blackwell.
Norm Blackwell.
So I'm assuming y'all are together?
Pretty much.
Okay.
John Mikey.
From?
Paxico, Kansas.
Hunter Mikey, Paxico, Kansas.
I'm assuming y'all are together.
Yes.
Just in a different way.
Jonathan McBride from Houston, Texas.
Daryl Schwartz from Milford, Virginia.
This is me and
Albert Simpson, Bragg, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Now, when you go trapping, especially when you get a bunch of guys together, there's always some crazy things that happen. Now, last week we had a student that has never skinned anything, and he was a meat market, I guess is a better way of saying it, in a state which we're not going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And you had an experience that I did not have a response for.
Yeah, we caught a coon in a trap, and I shot the coon and went with the other student to go check their trap. And we turned around to come back, and the student is standing at the back of my truck with a knife and blood all over his hand, his knife. And he looked at me and goes, the coon was still twitching, so I cut its throat.
what did you say? I mean, how do you?
I couldn't say nothing. I was totally dumbfounded. I've never experienced anyone just, it was still twitching. I mean, that just, how do you respond to that?
Well, you're sleeping with him, Albert. And you said that you put the pillows in your bed and you slept on the floor.
I slept under the bed.
Because you're worried about twitching?
Yes.
That's good. Oh, there's some crazy stuff that happened. Now, I'm going to pick on somebody pretty hard here because he's a good guy, and I think he's not going to get upset over it. Now, Jonathan, you're from Houston.
Right.
Now, how long have you been trapping?
This season, that's it. So
this
a couple
season.
Of months, yeah.
Couple of months.
Uh-huh.
So you're an experienced trapper.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I can tell from you being down here, very intelligent. You're really paying attention and you're extremely focused.
Appreciate that.
Now, again, back to Norm. Some of the things that happen when you do a school is amazing.
Yes.
So, I know you know what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm going to go into a couple other things. But
yeah, one of my first experiences with him was showing him a trench set, and he had a number 3 Sleepy Creek Long Spring, and he dug his trench, and he set the trap in there, and he's shifting it back and forth and trying to get it bedded, and I asked him, "Are you going to set that trap?" And
so it was in the dirt, but it wasn't set.
It wasn't set.
He's bedding.
Yes.
Well, you were paying attention to what I said, though.
Absolutely.
Daryl, you said that it was packed very well.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Now, my question is, why didn't you just wait to see how he sifted over it?
I couldn't. I just couldn't take it. I'm sitting there watching what he's doing. It's like, you know. Finally, it's like, dude, you got to set the trap before you do that. You know? Yeah, he was totally dumbfounded. He didn't understand there for a minute. And then he realized that the trap wasn't set.
He was so focused.
He was so focused on making that perfect set. It just totally, he missed a step.
Well, the first day I had him, you've been a jewel, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
the first day I had him, he was the same way. I mean, he's like laser focused on what he's doing.
Yeah.
And apparently he's got zen-like qualities where he can block out the world. Albert pulls up on a noisy Polaris right next to the Jeep. Wind's blowing right now. I mean, right next to the Jeep. We talk. for what, 3-4 minutes?
Yeah.
You know, well, he's going somewhere else, so he gives me the Bobcat that's on the back of his Jeep. I mean, and I put it on the back of my Jeep off his players. Well, he comes around from making the set, and we hadn't caught a cat. There's this big, beautiful Bobcat on the back of my Jeep rack, and it stops him in his tracks. And you said,
where'd that cat come from?
And I said,
we caught it over there.
I said, we killed it right there. And we let that go for, I bet, 20 minutes.
Yeah, we totally did.
And he kept going back, well, how did y'all get the cat? Well, it was standing right there, so we killed it. And he finally figured out I was pulling his leg when I pulled out a paper clip and opened it up where it's this little wire showing.
I don't know where it came from. I was just focused on bending the trap.
Well, that is true. But, you know, I don't think you came for trapping.
No?
No. Because you've ate $1,700 worth of food for a $1,500 school.
I gained a couple of pounds. Definitely.
We've had no leftovers.
No.
You know?
I mean, with Jonathan, if you don't fill your plate and you think you're being courteous, it's over.
Yeah. You're going hungry.
I started eating beets, for goodness sake.
You got Clint to start eating vegetables.
Good guy. Because he will not eat them.
Now, and you had an experience. Why don't you tell us about the cat experience today, Daryl?
Our instructor, who is Norman Blackwell, gave us showed us how to make a bobcat cubby set yesterday. We really took time and showed us. We made about half a dozen other sets as students. Today we come back, and the only trap that had anything in it was the one the instructor had shown us. So evidently, we didn't get it all right. So while we were trying to take the bobcat, pictures of the bobcat, Jonathan goes up and takes his phone and goes right straight into the bobcat, concentrating, focused on that bobcat through his phone. And the bobcat left the ground and came up to his face. Luckily, a drag had him held back, so he should have had some good pictures.
I got one.
It wasn't bad till I felt him on my back. I'm like, what in the world?
Yeah. I jumped back, ran, and unfortunately, yeah. Norm was in my way.
And then I go out, we're out putting up fur tonight, and I look up and you're hanging from the rafters.
Grease monkey.
You're something else. I mean, Now, Mr. Hunter.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Was it two days ago or yesterday?
2 days ago.
2 days ago.
We pull up to a set and you got all excited because we thought you might have had a cat.
Yeah.
And do not repeat the language that was said. And you found that it was a coon. So sometimes Texas is a rough place. What did you find out yesterday?
I found out that mesquite is very sharp and will cut you. And sometimes you got to go about 20 feet back in just to get a $15 raccoon.
That you're not even keeping?
No.
That ain't right, is it?
No.
So you caught the coon. The drag was on the edge of the brush. Since I don't measure chain, it was way in there.
Yeah.
And you had to take the pruning shears and literally make a tunnel through all that stuff.
You could easily walk back there now.
Easily, yeah.
Catch it
now. Now, on your head, you've got whelps where that stuff is. Apparently, it's got some type of adjective in it.
Yep.
And then why don't you explain when I was showing you the Freedom Brand traps, because I still ain't figured out what happened.
Apparently, you know how to modify them slightly.
I do get them. I get them.
Very light.
Very light, yes.
And somehow you can manage to catch your finger in it in less than 30 seconds of playing with it.
The one that's black right now is going to fall off in a week.
Probably.
I couldn't believe that. He's sitting there playing. He's got his hands on the outside of the trap.
Yeah.
He's sitting there playing with the dog, and the next thing I know, he's got his finger inside of it.
That had to hurt.
Dad thought it was great.
Yeah. Dad has had some great laughs off his son this week. I think the greatest thing on our part is they're both gunsmiths. Mm-hmm. So I look at that and they should be just, you know, shooting perfection.
Oh yeah, we can go somewhere now. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Oh, we're going somewhere else. You know, my first experience. We're going down. We're checking the fence snares. We pull up, and there's a coyote in there. Hunter gets excited in the back seat, trying to climb over his dad to get out. He gets something to shoot. I'm like, okay, go ahead and shoot it. I tell him where to shoot. He's probably 10 feet. He shoots.
The pistol coyote. Or rifle?
Pistol.
Okay.
Okay, but it's 10 feet, you know? And we're standing there talking, and the coyote's laying there just looking at him. And we're waiting and waiting. So he had to shoot the coyote again. I'd expect better from a gunsmith to have a gun that was either more accurate or his abilities to be a little more, you know, shoot straight. But it's comical.
That's been my experience with them.
Has it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What happened when you was with them?
Yesterday, we did find a really cool place for bobcats, a place I've never seen on this property. And there was cat tracks everywhere. So we're like little kids running around looking for everywhere we can put a set. And all of a sudden, I hear a .45 screaming. I'm talking the whole clip screaming. And you said, well, you didn't come over there. Well, no, I was getting behind the Jeep. And you went over there, and you got your Kimber.
Yeah, .38 Super.
Super. Two shots, rattlesnake dead.
Dead. I shot a limb with the first shot, and the second shot was where it was supposed to be, but awful big snake.
Well, I mean, how many mags did you... You did have extras, right?
Yeah.
So if we saw another snake...
I had at least 8 more rounds.
8 more rounds.
Then he had a .22 pistol on the other side.
Right.
That's a smaller bullet, dude. That'd never work.
That wouldn't have worked for him. Yeah, I know.
But how many before times that, did he though... Have... Go ahead.
3 bullets on a coon.
3.
3.
That was fighting through the mesquite, though.
But it took him 2...
We don't do excuses here, man.
It took him 2 on the coon that I pulled out of the brush pot.
That's true.
And there wasn't nothing in the way.
I'm surprised you can carry enough ammo to go trapping.
I go through a lot.
But, you know, part of our venture, there's a blue bra hanging in, on the fence. And every day he makes it a point to point that thing out. I'm not sure what his obsession is with this blue bra.
Now, how old are you, Hunter?
19.
That's all you need to know.
There you go. I have offered to, you know, I've offered to take it down and let him take it home with him. And, you know, we may do that tomorrow.
You get that from me. We'll mail it to him somewhere later in the year.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
It would. It could just show up at the shop.
Oh, yeah. Mom will open it.
Hunter, you forgot this.
The good times down in Texas.
Yeah. Maybe the girlfriend will be there.
No, I'm good.
I'm good. Leave us her address. We can just mail it to her.
Definitely not.
Well, have you anything exciting happened to you in the last couple weeks, Albert?
No, not really. Other than my bike breaking down.
Yeah, we'll get into that because that's the reality of trapping. Now, I want to brag about somebody that I'm extremely proud of and I had fun with, which I will see a video on YouTube with. Yesterday, I had 0 cats. Norm, how many cats did you have?
None.
Albert?
I have 8.
No, yesterday.
Yes, 0.
0. How many did you catch, Daryl?
0.
Jonathan?
0.
Hunter?
0.
0.
Okay, Jen, how many cats did you have with 3 professional students and 4 of the guys that's trapping?
3.
Say that again?
3.
You know that makes us look bad, right? So you catch the cats, you flesh 16 coon. I still can't talk into the sister-wife thing.
No.
No? I'm going to keep trying.
Yeah, she's doing good. She's got more cats. She's got, what, 10 or 11 cats, something like that?
And you've never snared a high fence or been down here or anything?
No.
Aren't you glad I taught him well to teach you?
I like the way you want to take credit for that. I should have sent you out there to show her how.
She'd have had a few more, but that's okay. So what do you think of Texas so far?
It's been cold. I expected to be warmer.
Well, it was warm last week.
Yes. And then one day we were in town in shorts. We got back here to the ranch. We had to go put on our overcoats because the weather changed that quickly.
Now, that has been different this year. We've had a couple of mornings almost at zero, which guys up north are going to be laughing at. But when you go from 87 degrees to freezing, that's pretty drastic in a 24-hour period.
Yeah. It's actually a matter of 6 hours.
Well, we could tell the difference just coming out of the grocery store. Yep. If we were in there a long time because Jonathan was coming.
We got to go back, and they're not even ready to leave.
I mean, he's ate 4 pounds of butter from what you told me.
Yeah, we went through 4 pounds of butter in 4 days.
That's some good butter.
He is single.
He is single?
And he doesn't cook much for himself.
Sandwiches, ramen, the basics, yeah.
He's made me feel good cooking, though.
I'll bet.
You're a good cook.
Well, thank you.
Now, you are a good cook.
I appreciate that.
That's unanimous.
Well, let's just do a little more seriousness. Why did you come to the school, Darryl?
I have a passion for catching coyotes, and that's the most difficult thing to catch that I've tried for. And I came down here to see what techniques that you use in actual in the field, rather than on video or something like that. So it's been successful. I've learned a lot, but when I got here, I actually found out I probably did the wrong thing. I should have concentrated on bobcats, as many as I've seen down here. And the techniques that you use, without a doubt, capture bobcats. So the lessons you've taught me right now, I will definitely take back and use in the states that I trap in. And I'm sure I will be successful because I've actually watched you make the sets and catch the bobcat the next day. So that's confirming everything that you've taught.
Well, you've won the coyote competition out in New Mexico in the last year.
Right, a couple years ago, yes.
And I was, in all seriousness, surprised you would come here. I mean, you would be teaching instead of taking. I mean, just from a life lesson type thing, what was your mentality for that?
Well, I'm not a professional trapper, and I never will be. I'm almost 70 years old. I'm retired. I have time now to trap, but I'm in a business that I only get to trap 6 weeks out of this whole season because I grow Christmas trees, and that ties me down. So I really am not that knowledgeable. I mean, I may be fairly good at what I do, but I want to know more. And the only way to do it is go and get good instructions. I've spent my whole life being a loner, trapping on my own, not telling anyone, not watching anyone. This is my first time to ever get professional instruction. So I should have done this 40 years ago.
Because I remember the first morning we were out, you were telling Jonathan how you wish you'd have did this for, because, you know, like you were saying, when we were out there, you know, because that's what I did. When I realized this is what I did, you know, I treated it like college. I went to a lot of different people.
I didn't. I wished I had it.
You wish
Jonathan you? Did. Jonathan, he's trapped. He's caught 13 animals until coming to the school.
14.
And
don't short him that
yeah,
way.
Right. Yeah.
That's serious.
Yeah.
That's serious numbers there.
Yeah, he got his picture with Clint Locklear for his 14th one. So that's a pretty large step. He started at the top. You understand? I mean, he didn't just struggle along like I did over the years. He actually said, I'm serious about this. I'm going to be a trapper. He immediately signed up for a course. He will make a great trapper in the near future, and it won't be very long. If anybody knows him in the future, you'll hear about this man. He's about the most motivated individual I have ever, ever run across.
I mean, you were taking notes every night, it seemed like.
For hours, pages.
I didn't know we talked that much, man.
I didn't either.
You tell me I don't talk as it is.
No, you don't.
When we first got in the vehicles, each day at this course, one morning, two people go with Clint and two people go with Norman. So I got in the vehicle with Clint, and because I'm older, Jonathan said, "Darryl, you ride up front." And I got to thinking, he's asking a million questions. And I didn't want Clint to be not taking, paying attention to the road and have to turn backwards. So I said, to talk to him, so I said, "I'll sit in the back and you sit in the front." Because he asked a question about every 2 minutes. So I didn't want, I didn't want
That's just when he's tired.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but the added benefit was, with me being older and being wiser, I also knew there was a whole bunch of gates. So it worked out well. I couldn't remember the combinations anyway, and this young man, he's got a brain like a rocket scientist, so he has no problem. He just runs up to the gate and it's open automatically. So I really lucked up on that decision to ride in the back seat.
Clint will miss that next week. Let you get out.
Yes, he is.
I've got a clicker coming.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. That's I told Sherry not to give you one.
Thank you.
You're welcome. She can have one. She ain't leaving the gate. So why did you come, Hunter? I mean, Jonathan.
Basically, I just, you know, when I get into something, I go full force. Like I was telling you about the podcasts, books, YouTube, everything, and it just happened to be trapping now. And so when I get into something, it's, you know, both feet, both hands, and, you know, my whole body. And so that's what I'm doing right now, and I just really wanted to learn how to trap. So my learning curve would be really quick. I could go out and just actually catch fur instead of just, you know, wish and hope. And so that's what I did. And I learned and I learned and I learned. And I forgot a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm sure I missed stuff. So as long as y'all answer your phone, I'll be calling you still when I leave here. But that's it. I just really wanted the information and wanted to learn. I was hungry. And so still am.
What's your phone number, Norm?
Unlisted.
I mean, you do a lot of, I mean, you tie flies. Yeah. I mean, you were showing me those things. That was amazing.
Yeah. Don't fly fish, but a tie flies. So that works out.
And that was pretty cool. But I will admit, you freaked me out some. And you know what I'm talking about.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
He has listened to every podcast so many times. Yeah. Anything I say, or if I contradict myself, I'm getting questions about it.
That's great.
I mean, I've heard that story.
And so at the end of it, he started giving disclaimers when he tells the story. Now look, Jonathan, you probably heard this. That's funny, he's giving disclaimers, but I have heard that.
I asked him today if he had studied the biography of Clint Locklear. Because he knows everything about you. And you said, "I'm beginning to think he's a stalker."
But for the record, Clint did kiss me yesterday.
Yeah. What's up with the kiss between you two? That's a little freaky.
For the record, I'm a witness.
Yeah.
But do you have a picture?
You were too fast. Slow down.
In our modern day, Darryl, it don't matter if you don't have a picture. Didn't happen.
That's right. Yeah, okay.
But we got a picture of you with foo-foo feathers, so, you know, this is not that unbelievable.
We were talking about something in pictures where I kissed Mark June outside the restaurant and scared him to death.
Yes.
And I could tell he was a little nervous. So Darryl was taking pictures, and I laid one on him. But he didn't have a camera working.
I just missed it by a split second, and you wouldn't do it again. You said, "No, I'm not doing that again."
Only one kiss per man.
That's what you said.
Darryl kept over here taking pictures of us. Darryl's building
an album
and wanted to take pictures. So each time we'd stop, Clint, he'd get one of Clint, he'd get one with me and Clint. And so I kept fake hugging Clint, you know, because we were standing so close to get in the frame. And then Clint said, "You know what? I'm going to give him one." And he gave it to me. I can't give it back.
You're a pretty average sized guy, so you had to stand that close to fit in the camera frame? What's Clint, that say about Clint now?
Clint's a pretty large man.
What?
Clint's a pretty large man in my picture frame.
I tried to get
That's because it's a small camera.
Well, it is. And the operator doesn't know how to work it because his son didn't teach him everything about it before he came out here. I keep asking, is the flash working? I don't know.
It is kind of funny. I didn't hit no buttons.
So sometimes it just keeps taking pictures, and I don't know why.
Now, why did y'all two come out?
The reason we kind of talked about it last year, actually, and the classes were already full, and we were sitting there in the first shed this year looking at it. We were between 80 and 160 coons a year, and 20 to 40 coyotes, and only got four cats. We could never get over that. And we looked at each other and we said, okay, it's worth the investment to go to the school professionals and learn what we're doing wrong. And within the first day, I learned that I wasn't bedding my trap properly. There's so many little things that we were doing just one step off or this or that. And even though we haven't caught a cat yet, we know how to set the sets properly, how to guide them, how to flag, everything. And Dad and I just talked about the whole way down, 16-hour drive. I mean, you know, we got to do this or that, or, you know, just a worthless investment. In the first hour, we already realized we just already paid for it. The stuff we've learned is amazing. I mean, the different traps, we can't use them in Kansas, but we can use them here.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually fortunate that I had some of the traps that I could use here that I can't use there above ground. So I modified them the way that you do clamp, the bigger pans, and it's so much easier.
You made my big pan look little.
That was my goal.
That's a big, big pan trap.
You're wasting kill zone. The bigger the pan, the better.
You've listened to too many podcasts, dude.
Honestly, I've only listened to about three podcasts.
Really?
Yeah, because I didn't want to keep everybody up in the house. Normally, I listen to it about midnight to 2 in the morning, so normally I don't watch them. I watched the first cat collector video, and from then on, we always said, we're going to take a class if Clint has them.
But we've seen the proof.
We've seen
the evidence here. Oh, yeah. While the four students have been here, we have seen the proof of the large pan. I mean, you could not have convinced me to use a pan that large ever. But I've been here, I've watched my instructor do it. And I've watched those coyotes that's coming in, there's just no doubt it works. Mm-hmm. It is a deadly addition to that particular trap.
So you believe that?
Naturally, I believe it. I'm here.
Do you believe you can catch fox in cover?
I do.
Do you really?
I don't believe anything you say now. I won't argue with you. No more arguing with you.
Why did you come?
Well, the main reason I came is because I wanted to learn more about trapping and to be able to be out there and do things with my son.
Amen.
You know, it's... You don't get a chance to do enough with them. The teenagers, a lot of times you lose track of what they're doing and you don't know. You get so busy in what you're doing, you just kind of miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's, you know, I wanted to learn as much as I could. So if he forgets something, I can help him. And I like picking on him a little bit. That's a lot of fun.
If I didn't know y'all were father and son, I'd say y'all were husband and wife. Because, I mean, y'all, picking is a light word. But it goes both ways. It's fun to watch.
It does go both ways.
This was your birthday present.
This was my 50th birthday present, you know.
That you got to pay for.
Yeah, I got to pay for it. He said, Dad, let's go to this trapping school. Well, I'll take you for your 50th birthday. And guess what? You get to pay.
That's great.
Hey, I guess it worked out for everybody.
Exactly.
I've had a lot of fun.
And he made you drive the whole
thing. Yeah, I got to drive all the way down. I'll drive all the way home because if I'm going to die in a vehicle, I'm going to be the one behind the wheel. So, you know, it worked out good.
Well, do you think you've seen some things like in the breaks you have there in Kansas?
That will work. We've seen a lot of things I think will work real well. We've learned a lot.
Snaring will be good.
Yeah, the snaring will work real well too. So.
And you were saying the first time he picked up the snare, it looks like he's been doing it forever.
Yeah, he watched me set a couple snares. We come up to the next place, had a coyote in there. We cut the coyote out. I handed him a snare. He put it in. I didn't have to correct him. He had the right size loop. He had the right everything. Camouflaged it. Everything. It was good. Very quick. The only thing that he's picked up and quick on is, you know, was the snare and
just not shooting.
Not shooting. No. Not impressed with that. Very impressed with his trap setting skills, though. He just needs to find somebody to go with him that can shoot.
Maybe his girlfriend can shoot. I'm not sure.
Now, y'all are into besides being a gunsmith, y'all are into long distance gun, 1,000 yards.
Yeah, we do a lot of 1,000 yard rifle stuff. I build a lot of 1,000 yard guns.
And you build those in your shop?
I build them right in my shop. I'll take anybody's action and get a custom barrel it, new stock, bed it, float it, match it up with a 1,000 yard scope, do all the ballistic data gathering, get turrets built for them, make it real easy for them to go out and shoot 1,000 yards.
Now, when you say turret, to me, that's a tank.
Turret is the top adjustment on the scope and the side adjustment on the scope. the top adjustment, we'll have it set up to where you're zeroed at 200 yards. That animal stand up there 550 with a 10 mile an hour crosswind. You dial 550, it'll tell you exactly how many minutes to hold to the left or to the right, into the wind, and pull the trigger.
If someone was interested in you building guns for them, how would they get a hold of you?
They need to get a hold of me at Flint Hills Gunworks in Manhattan, Kansas. And phone number there is 785-537-9815. I'm there 6 days a week, unless he cocks me into sneaking out and going trapping. And sometimes he can do that. We're there all the time.
Now, y'all had winter come early in Kansas, like the rest of the country.
Yep.
Now, you need a new boat.
Yes.
So why do you need a new boat, Hunter?
I learned real quick that when Thanksgiving came, we had about 2.5 inches of ice on the creek, and you can break rivets very fast.
Yeah, and put 120 traps out when you when that ice came.
Run 120 traps a day, you're putting a lot of stress on the boat, for one. And we caught 85 coons in 10 days, and so our biggest day was 18 coons, so we had a lot of extra weight. And when you're hitting ice, you have to have an all-weld boat or something really strong, because you're not going to last.
Now, I'm just guessing, but when you say hit the ice, from some of the stories I've heard about you driving,
he really means hit the ice. Yeah.
I mean, you
hear the motor rev up, and you hear crunch, crunch, crunch. Oh, you know what? It didn't go anymore. Back up. Do it again.
Yep. For 5 miles each way.
Plowing back and forth.
And when I say creek, I mean everything's like a little stream in the backyard. Our creek is as far wide as 150 feet and 20 feet deep, or 2 feet deep and 30 feet wide. You never know.
It just changes.
I mean, it flows for probably 150 miles.
Yeah, that creek drains about 150 miles of drainage.
So, I mean, there's a lot of coons that move in and out through there, and bobcats, and it's always so fun because everybody's either ground trapping or water trapping, and I'm doing both all at the same time because I can use my boat either way. And everybody asked me, you know, can you afford to do that? Probably not, because I was breaking so many props and everything on the ice. But winter came November 28th this year instead of after Christmas. So we had a foot of snow right after Thanksgiving. So.
Well, when we left to come down here on Saturday, it was 21 degrees and sleeting. And, you know, we get down here, it is 80 degrees. You're melting. You're going, wow, this is beautiful. And about, 4 hours later, the cold front comes through and drops 20 degrees in 5 minutes. And it just
welcome to Texas.
Yeah, welcome to Texas. It's kind of like Kansas. If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes, it will change.
Now, I'm kind of curious. I'm going to ask everybody here a question. Albert, how did you learn about trapping when you got started?
I learned?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I read a few books, and then I went to start going to the Trapper's Convention, and I signed up for the Trapper and Predator Call or magazine. And I got other magazines mostly come. And then I took instructions off of the Leggetts. I was with Pete for a day. And then I took Clint Lockler's advanced trapping school. And then I took his predator control school. And I'm still learning.
Now, how do you end up still coming to all these things with me? How did that happen?
I told you I wasn't going home, but you told me to. At the first predator school, I told you, I wasn't coming out driving 1,600 miles, trapping 5 days and going home. I was going to study. You told me to go home. You ain't never told me to go home. I just keep coming back when Clint comes back.
That's great. They're all going to do that to you.
Yeah.
Can't afford the food.
Well, see, I remember the story a little different. You were like, do you mind if I stay in trap? And I was like, I don't know, man. We start splitting fur so many different directions, everybody goes broke. And you said, I'm not worried about the fur. I just want a trap. I just pointed over the horizon. Told you to go to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I could see that.
Yeah, slave labor was nice, but then I felt guilty. So now I get the cut. But.
You're feeding him beans and sausage for the rest of the trip.
We don't eat the way y'all been eating after, no.
We don't eat the way Clint used to eat when he was here either, though.
Yeah, they won't let me do that.
No.
Well, they'll let me do it, but they won't eat it.
No.
So, you've been coming to Texas for how many years now?
This is my fourth year.
What do you think you've picked up from coming down here, or that stuck out to you? Because you're trapping, I can really tell your sets have changed. I don't understand half of them, but they work.
Right. But I take a little bit of this off of one guy, a little bit off the other, and then I come up with my own set. It's a demo that I watch. When I first come down here, I was not interested in cat trap, but I wanted to work on coyotes. And you told me cats pay the bill is what we need. So I've been focused every
time.
Well,
if you're going to be slave labor, you got to make profit.
Right. So you got me interested in cat trapping, and when I come to Texas, that's what I kill. And when I'm up around home, we're only allowed one cat in PA and three in West Virginia, but I really don't have no problem catching them. Once I find a sign, it's just a matter of time waiting on them. With the techniques you use, a few others.
I bet you were glad to get down here this year.
Yes.
You were out pulling traps how before you came down here?
We had about a foot of snow, and I bought me a metal detector, and I was pulling my traps so I could come to Texas.
Did you bring the metal? It was not snow down here. Did you bring it down here?
No, I didn't do that.
No?
But I know where it's at. I can get it sent here in just a little bit.
Now, one of the things you brought down this year, which I have to admit, I'm envious that I did not come up with it, was your flagpoles.
Well, I seen them in a picture of them. That's not my idea to start with, but I seen a picture of them in the Trapper and Predator. Tom Baudette had them.
Okay.
And I ordered one off of him just to see how it worked. And I tried to get a guy to make them like that, but he's got to do welding. And he didn't weld. He didn't do welding for me. And he had them a year, and so I went and got them, and I said, I got to have something this year. And I come up with my own idea because I don't weld. So that's how I come up with that stuff.
Well, it's the slickest thing, because I can say everybody we've been with, whenever we run out of your poles, I mean, you brought them down and we took them. But when we run out of them, everybody's like sad. Now we got to start looking for trees again.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. So how did it? Please don't tell me you just learned from him, Jen. Surely you had better upbringing than that.
Why you got to be so hard on me?
I read a lot. We do get the Predator and Trapper. We also get for fishing game. And Norm has taught me a lot also. Believe it or not, he has.
Oh, I actually believe it.
I
just don't want you to say it. Now, how did you learn how to trap, Norm?
Trial and error. We had nobody in my life, anyone that trapped. The trappers that I knew, they wasn't going to tell you nothing. So it was trial and error. I Trapper and Predator magazine. Once I found that, I thought I found gold. You know, so that was great information. Other than that, just getting out and doing it, talking to the fur buyer, getting some ideas.
You know, Jeff told me he's the one that taught you how to trap.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I never knew Jeff when we were up there, but that could have been interesting.
How did you get started trapping, John?
We actually owned a pheasant farm and a hunting club, and we did a little bit of trapping around just for the predators around the bird pen. You know, and that's really the only traps I'd ever been around until Hunter comes back and says, hey, I want to try this. Because he had a young friend or a friend that was just a couple years older than him in high school, and he was into it big with his dad. And they started him, and then I got back into it, and he's really serious about it, so I thought it was a good idea to do something with him, really.
That's cool, actually, I think.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. You have the chance to trap with your son.
Oh, yeah. You get to go outside and do things and you know that you wouldn't do. And you see things you've never seen before.
Yeah.
That's the neat thing. You never know what you're going to see when you go out every morning. It could be different. So. Yeah.
So at your age, why did you get started, or why did you find interest in?
I was probably, I think I was seventh grader, and we moved back to Kansas, South Dakota. And I had a couple kids in my class, actually. They own probably about 5,000 to 6,000 acres, all farming. And the kid in my class's little brother actually trapped, and they had these little mini trucks that they're made in Japan, so you drive on the opposite side. And we were 13 and
the little 15. Mitsubishis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we were driving around all these farm back roads, underage, checking traps, and I thought it was so cool. And then there was a kid in high school, so he's a couple years older than me. He was a senior and I was a seventh grader. He's like, I'll let you borrow a dozen dog-proof traps. The only traps I'd ever seen was from my grandpa that my dad used back when he was, you know, a young boy on the farm. And from then on, I was like, okay, I'm going to catch coons and all this. And my grandpa, on my mom's side, would always let me trap in March after the fur was already ruined because they'd all come to the deer feeder in the front yard. And when my friend Wayne let me borrow those traps, I was like, okay, I can do this. I think the first year I caught 28 coons, and it was through the whole season. And from then on, every time I got paid anything, I saved all the money I could. And now I've got over 300 some traps in under 5 years. I've spent thousands of dollars, but I've got everything I could want. I've bought boats, four-wheelers, trucks, but it's all for trapping. Everything I look at, it's like, save $5,000, I can buy this for trapping, or I could buy this and not have it for trapping. The trapping is 95% of what all my money goes to now. It's just that's turning
all
into a business.
All he talks about is trapping, trapping, trapping.
That's a I'll buy a new gun, now, it goes
you,
for trapping.
Do you have a goal to be a professional trapper, or just a very serious money trapper when you get a chance?
When I first started, I always had a set goal that I was going to be a welder and a trapper. Honestly, welding's fun, but then I learned I could build my own traps. I could do all the stuff that all professionals do. And honestly, I'd want to be a professional trapper, but yet I've looked at the state nuisance trappers, because they're in Kansas, there is like one in our east half of the state. So I would be busy all the time. But yet, where Dad's a gunsmith, I can machine all the parts, just have to build my own cages, my own coil springs, everything. So right now, I'm actually looking at building in my own coil springs. I've already built close to 60 cages, and I've taken ideas off different people, and I'm changing doors. And Norm,
glad I could help you,
Norm,
buddy.
Norm has just built a great trap. I've never built a guillotine door trap. All mine are drop doors with bars, and they work great every year. And my biggest goal is to be able to, I shouldn't say out trap everybody in the area, but have
it's
that
okay
reputation.
It's okay to say that.
I want to have that reputation. That kid just trapped 400 plus coons, so many beaver, and 20 bobcats. Because in our area, if you get 10 bobcats, everything's you're the king of trapping in the whole area. And next year, somebody else gets 10 or 12, and I'm like, oh, that person's better. So my goal is to get better than the rest of them and still be able to build my own and not say, hey, I bought that Havahart off the shelf and I just trapped, you know, 30 raccoons. I can say, I built that trap, and I can patent it if I want to, or I can just build them as I want to keep it for myself.
Now you can't patent Norm's trap.
I have no desire to. I would change it. I would change it in a heartbeat. I like it. It's a great trap. I'm sure it works great everywhere.
He changes everything. I mean,
I have my twist on everything when it comes to building traps and pans. I mean, I don't know many people that take a Duke number 3 and build a pan that doesn't even look factory at all because it works bigger and better for me. So.
That's because you heard Clint say that bigger is better all the time.
Like I built my CDR pan, is almost 7x7. It barely clears jaws on the CDR.
Clint's that ain't like, no joke.
Clint's is like a 4.5x5, I think, roughly. And, I mean, it works great for him. He catches, you know, over 100 cats a year, so I figured the bigger pan, the better I could no matter what. I mean, there's a lot of great traps out there, like the new Bridger number 3 Dogless. I mean, that's a sweet trap.
I have to admit, that is an impressive trap.
Clint and I were looking at this week, and really, the only thing you can do for a pan is put a weld on the end of it and make it about a half inch longer, and that's it. It needs no other modifications, but where we got the mill and the lathe that work, I could take that pan and literally cut it out on sheet metal and do everything right there and have my own pan. So I change everything.
That's why I run out of end mills and that kind of thing and drill bits.
But right now, I've already made frames for my own coil spring traps. The only thing I'm waiting on is making my own jaws. Other than that, I've got the springs, I've got everything, so.
Cool.
I'm just playing with it, and I mean, I probably wasted a couple $100 right just dinking with coil springs trying to make my own, but I'm having fun. So in the slow time of the year at work, I can build traps and weld and have fun, you know, every
instead
day.
Instead of dusting and polishing and oiling guns.
Wait, you work for your dad, and you're saying it's slow time work.
Slow times of the
year. Not slow for me, just slow for him.
Slow times of the year is when when the retail's going slow and we have extra employees just sitting out there working. I can be in the back with Dad helping machine and do other parts and stuff.
For you.
For me. Or for him. I mean, we do both.
Yeah. And you're going to be paying him.
Oh, yeah. He gets paid. He never misses a payday. It's kind of like Jonathan not missing a meal.
Sweet.
he's got the gig of the lifetime.
Payday's nice. I'll say that. But, I mean, I can't complain. You know, I can sit there for 8 hours one day.
Really?
And all I'm making is trap frames. And the next day I'm out selling guns on retail. Or helping Dad, you know, build firing pins or dual bolts or something like that for a rifle, or drill holes in the receivers. So, I mean, everybody's like, "Oh, you work for your dad? It's gonna be so easy." There's a lot of hard jobs. I mean, there really is. I mean,
like building traps.
Yeah, like building traps for myself. No, like cleaning out your test booth and stuff for shooting the guns and test firing. That can be a real pain because nobody will clean it, and then a month later. Hey, Hunter, there's your job for the day. And it will take you half the day to clean it out because nobody cleans it every week or every 2 weeks like they should.
Well, that's a dad's job, is to find crappy jobs for the son.
And it works pretty well. But no, build traps, probably my favorite thing is building traps. Just because if I let somebody buy a trap from me or use it, they can test it, and then they can spread the word, say, hey, Hunter built that cage trap, and look at that. You know, I caught 5 bobcats this year. I bought about 30 traps from an old guy in town this year, and he's built them for 35 years. His pan on this cage trap is under a half inch off the ground. And I try to do it, no matter what, it's gonna be an inch off the ground, but I still can catch a cat, and so does he. He hangs a squirrel in the back, and I've done it, I don't catch a thing. Then I switch it up, and I'll catch something, and then he doesn't catch anything. It's kind of like a competition between both of us. I mean, they'll look exactly the same out on the field, but they're really not. Different trigger designs and mechanisms to drop the doors, and just changing things up is the best part about trapping. So,
well, Jonathan, what I know you got interested in trapping, but why?
No, I really just wanted a raccoon hat.
Seriously?
Absolutely.
I was not expecting that.
I always thought it'd be really cool to have a raccoon hat.
No, I don't kiss guys that wear raccoon hats.
Well, okay, I'm a bobcat hat. And so, you know, a buddy of mine had some land. He had some hogs out and stuff. We were going to go hunting. And he had some coons out there. And so I figured, okay, well, I'll get a couple traps and get a trapping book and just check it out. Well, I went out there. And I think it was probably first or second time caught a bobcat. And so the second I caught a bobcat and a couple of possums, I was absolutely hooked. You know, so that you can, it's like a chess match, like you say, right? To be able to outsmart an animal. And that was just awesome. I went back, started talking to a guy at work. His dad used to trap. And then I was telling him, yeah, I'm gonna go catch some coyotes, stuff like that. And he says, whoa, you know, catching coyotes and bobcats, that's, you can't just go out there and do that. And I'm thinking, huh, I'm gonna go do this. It's kind of like a challenge, right? And so then I just really started to get into it, and it was like this high coming around the corner seeing this bobcat there. I mean, to know that I sat there and an animal came and I lured it, and that was really a cool thing. And that really just got me hooked. And so I just, you know, turned it into high gear and just like a sponge and absorbed everything around me. And then I said, well, how about I get professional trapping a couple of months in? And
so you went from a coon hat to a professional trapper within 2 months.
I tend to do that on things.
Hey, if you're going to, think big, brother, think big.
That's it. Yeah, everyone around me knows if Jonathan wants something, he's going to get it.
I'm motivated.
Yeah. And so that's what it is. It's awesome. Yeah. Raccoon hat.
Well, how did you get started and how did you learn how to trap?
Well, mine is very simple. It's probably like most American young boys and girls. My dad just lived in the woods, and at the earliest age that he could carry me or whatever, I went in the woods.
Now, how old are you? Because you're speaking, that's not normal now.
I'm 69, almost 70. But my dad just carried me. Every time he would go, I would go. And, you know, it's just natural. And he wasn't a big trapper. He thought he was, because when he come home with a mink or a muskrat or a possum, that was it. But he may not have caught 15, 20 animals a year, but to him, he enjoyed it just as much as the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
It was his life. He dreamed trapping day in, day out. That's all we ever talked about. We'd come home and skin a muskrat in the basement all evening, one piece of fur. But we'd spend the whole evening as father and son. You can't ask for more than that.
What did you do on a muskrat all evening?
I don't know. I can't remember, but we had the nicest looking piece of fur you've ever seen. I mean, the fur buyers were always just jumping to get them. Of course, they only had half a dozen at the end of the year, but, you know. And later in life, I was fortunate enough to have my dad to come to where I was in Virginia and trap with me for two seasons. He caught his first otter. Now he's a big trapper. He caught, I think, four otters his first year. And he caught, I don't know how many beavers. And we got to share. I got to take my dad trapping later in life. So, you know, that was nice that I was able to do that. And I've just continued ever since, no matter where I was stationed in the Army and around the world, I continued to trap. And it's and I always said, when I retire, guys, I'm going to travel the world and trap. And I have literally traveled the United States and living my dream as much as my financial. I'm not making much money, I mean, but I am able to trap and enjoy living, doing what I wanted to do.
Well, I'm assuming from the very first trap you set here in Texas, that you do not have cactus and mesquite in Virginia.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. Anywhere I've ever been. Please, if you come to Texas, listen to your instructors. I backed into a mesquite bush. It went through my coveralls, my heavy wool jacket, my heavy wool shirt, straight into my elbow and anchored there.
I remember I had to pull it out of you.
I had to undress. I had to undress in the field and have Clint pluck bullhorns out of my elbow, which still hurt to this day.
And then you walked over and almost lost your head in the mesquite tree.
I almost did, but I learned quickly. Yeah, I sent Jonathan to do all the retrieving, and he was so excited he didn't know he was being used. So, hey, you know, but Clint, what do you think? When you only have four students and you come here, you don't know who you're going to be paired up with. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm here single. I don't know who I'm. I figured I'm going to be with a trapper that knows how to trap, you know, at least a little bit.
And then you got me.
Really, we didn't know we had you. But three of us trappers, John and Hunter, they show up and we're out there talking in the fur skinning area, and here pulls up a white BMW. I mean, not a truck now, a spick and span white BMW. And we're looking, and we're all talking. Here steps out of that white BMW, a cleanest cut young man you've ever seen with his hair slicked back. And then we all know he's just here asking for directions.
He's lost.
Let me tell you, you ought to heard what we said about you. Get from there.
Me and Daryl and Dad were sitting, like I said, just sitting there. And I think we're talking to Albert.
Yeah.
Albert looks at us and he goes,
"Oh no,
what is this?" And we looked up, and like Daryl said, a white BMW, basically sports car. I mean, it's just not a sedan. I mean, yeah, it's a nice car.
It's a nice car.
And you look at it, Daryl's old 2000 something Ford. It smells like skunk 500 yards away. And then you see, you know, Albert's big Dodge truck sitting over on the other end, and Dad's got his Lincoln pickup over here and this white BMW. And Jonathan gets out in his nice jeans, his polo, and spiked up front of his hair, and, "Hi guys, who are you?" We literally thought it was a joke.
But of the three people standing there on that dock, who do you was thinking, "That's my partner"? I know the father-son are going to be together. I already know that. So here I am. But let me tell you, don't ever judge anything beforehand. He turned out to be probably one of the best friends I'll ever have in my life. We have really, we have helped each other. I have learned so much from him because of the questions that he's asked constantly. I've got a refresher course in this. So it's been a blessing, and we have enjoyed it. He has really been something.
Well, I've never had anybody know everything I've ever said in every order that I've ever said it, and I had to be so careful of what I said now.
Yeah.
Because I have to defend it.
But he has it on his phone. He can pull it up and show you what you said.
Oh, yeah.
That's not what you said yesterday.
Yeah, and he does that right in the field.
He was taking notes on his phone.
Huh?
He was taking notes on his phone. There's nothing wrong with that. The only, I really enjoyed you, but today I didn't know what to do with you, Jonathan. We pulled out a cage trap. Cat cage. And the beauty of a cat cage is it's low energy. Right, it's so fast cool. to put in until Jonathan gets a hold of it. We pull up, we get behind this pond. Well, first off, me and you're like hound dogs looking at these cow tracks going back
and
forth.
That's like a dog in heat.
So I'm like, well, okay, Jonathan, where do we put the cage? Where do you want to put the cage? I'm trying to figure out if we're on the same page or we're on location. And he goes out in the middle of this little patch behind this pond and goes right there. And I'm looking, and there ain't a tree within like 50 yards. And we're out of Albert's magical poles. So I'm like, we don't have any poles. And he goes, well, this is where it goes. So he goes, why don't he put it right over there? And I'm like going, I don't know.
That's what I talked to him.
So he's like going, well, if he did this, this is Daryl. We're like whispering like two old women over there going, I don't know, he should do this. So he goes, and I go, go talk to him. Because I knew what was getting ready to happen. And he went over there, and you were very diplomatic. You know, yeah. If we were partners and and money and all this, and I'm like, this is going really good. And he goes, nope, it goes right there. So I'm like, oh boy. So I'm still looking at these cow tracks, and he starts asking for hatchets and all kind of stuff to get this set in. And Daryl kind of goes to over there with him, and I'm going, well, I'm going to go cow trapping. So I'm starting to cow traps.
We spent 45 minutes
put a cage in,
making the finest looking cage
and it was.
That you've ever seen.
I have to admit.
But he couldn't be my partner because I speed trap, and I mean, 45 minutes for one trap. It was excellent. He did beautiful. And if it's got a bobcat in the morning, I am never going to say another word.
No.
Now, your partner looks out for you.
Yeah.
Well, we were all riding together today, the second half, and 20 to 30 minutes goes by, and we never heard a word out of Derek.
Oh, you're going to bring up my Jeep, aren't you?
Yeah. Now, poor Daryl has been stuck in the back of your Jeep with that back hatch open and all of Texas coming inside that thing, filling him up full of dirt and dust. He can't breathe.
I like nature. What can I say?
He's using an asthma machine. I mean, he's got a gas mask on his face. I mean,
that is true.
Yeah, it's all true, you know, and we're kind of feeling bad for him, but Daryl's not a quiet person. He loves to talk. But he's not talking. And finally, he leans over. Are you okay? And I didn't even realize the silence in my truck. And I finally had to give him a Ricola, and he's just 10 minutes after that, he's like, you saved my life. And right back to the same old Daryl. He's back to talking.
Yeah, I'll be on oxygen out here the next time.
I can't believe you think my Jeep is dusty just because I couldn't see through my scope today.
Well, I really didn't realize that because we were having so much fun and so excited looking ahead and watching all the coyotes and bobcats jumping around until I got out in the evenings or at noon when we come to lunch. I took my jacket off and the hoodie. I had enough in there to make a set.
Yeah.
That's a new hat.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to wash. When I went to wash, I had a white wash bag and I washed my ears. I knew I was in trouble because the rest of that went through my nose. What a week.
It has been. It's been interesting.
Yeah. It's actually been terrific.
Yeah. It really has.
It's been a fun week.
Yeah. Does anybody have anything else they want to say before we wrap this up?
How does it feel to get your butt handed to you by a woman?
With gin?
Yes.
Go, girl.
But come on now. I mean, it's a little humbling.
See, I didn't know if you met that woman or that woman.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. That's great. Always got to be a comedian.
As long as it's her, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah.
Albert can beat me, I'm good.
Hey, I'm beating you right now.
It ain't over yet.
It ain't over yet, but I got you so far. Only by about 2 cats, but I still got you. I know. Tomorrow
we're going to come back to this.
Okay.
Because something is in the works that you don't know about.
Always.
And it's going to be very embarrassing for you here in a few months.
And you always have the upper hand somehow. You work that out.
It's like this, Albert.
I'm Norm.
Because me and him were talking about this earlier. Sorry.
Oh, you got Albert in with you too?
I was like, total on you now. You know when a young man always challenges his old man, it never works out good for him?
Especially the first time.
That's getting ready to happen.
The first time.
I am older than you are. You look older than me, but you know.
It's because I'm breathing all that dirt in my Jeep.
Absolutely. You could plant a garden in the back of that Jeep.
So I'm taking it home with me.
You're taking some of Texas with you.
But as far as her beating me, it didn't bother me a bit.
No? That's good. I'm proud for her. I truly am. She did a good job.
You know, Clint, I would like to tell the audience that if they come to Texas to trap with you, don't expect to go in a pickup truck.
No.
Clint traps out of a sport Jeep.
Four-door Jeep.
The fanciest thing you've ever seen, with a skin and rig on the front, his window rolled up in the back, and a little basket on the back, and that's what he traps out of. Believe me.
It works not, for me, but it works
for Clint, but not for a Clint and two students.
No, it is not the best for them.
But for anyone that's struggling out there trapping, you're young, take my advice. Go get some professional lessons, or while you're young, you will make that money back over and over.
Oh, best investment you could do.
I've lost literally thousands of dollars by not having the proper instructions earlier in my career. I keep saying, I don't have cats in my area. I'm not worried about them. Well, the reason I don't have cats in my area is I wasn't setting for them.
Mm-hmm.
I know now that I've missed a lot of financial gain by just being stubborn and only trapping one particular thing.
And even if this isn't, with you saying that, it's not a commercial for me.
Because right, I'm not.
There's a lot of guys that teach really good instruction.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've taken a lot of it personally. And it is such a big jump, like your son, which you should give your son a shout out here.
Yeah, my son came to, my son Dave Schwartz came to Clint's Vance Trapping School in Ohio. And he knew quite a bit about trapping. But when he came home, he was a different person. He is now a professional.
With Clint will do that to you.
He is now a professional beaver trapper. I mean, he can trap there. There's hardly anyone that probably could out-trap him on beavers. And he's also good at everything else, but it changed his attitude. He got proper instruction at an early enough age that he came home and taught me everything that he could from the school. And of course, I went on to win the World Championship because of some of the things that was taught in that school. That, you know, of course, he didn't get the privilege of winning it, but I did. But anyway, through, you know, it relates back to the training that he's had. So, you know, the schools are really great for trappers, just like any other school that's out there. But, you know, if you're young and you really want to learn in a hurry, like Jonathan, just come on and you know, go sign up for a school somewhere and learn all that you can early in your life.
The other thing the reason we, you know, me and Dad thought about this was, I don't know many kids out there that'll get up at 4 a.m. before high school and run 3.5 hours, as many traps as you can run every morning. But when I was in high school, I was running between 30 and about 50, 60 traps a day. But I had to get up at 4:30 a.m, run my trap line, after school basketball practice till 6:30 or 7, then go skin everything, it's just a working time bomb. I mean, once I graduated, I figured out working for my dad and looking at getting other jobs, that when you can work for your family, for one, you can either go to work late or you can set your schedule so you can come in at, let's say, 9. And you can still get up at 5, and you can run 120 traps a day. I've over doubled my line, and my catches have almost tripled in under not even a year. Just since getting out of high school, I mean, there's so much more time that you can trap. And I can see how you, Clint, and Norm, you guys set, 150 traps and run them in a day. Everybody thought I was crazy. Say, I had 120 coon traps out. It takes about 4 hours, if you have it set properly. I mean, Kansas, the big thing is I don't have a line unless I'm running 50 miles no matter what. I mean, I put on 40,000 miles between work and trapping in under 8 months. I mean, that's a lot of driving. But trapping, I was running 120 miles a day this year besides using my boat. So, I mean, once you get out and you have the time, take the time and, broaden your trap line. I mean, if you can't make it on just trapping, figure out what you can do to make it and still have, time to trap and enjoy your life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I started out at 14, now I'm 19. I've lost thousands by not putting up my own fur. I mean, I know that. I've learned that, and now I'm going to basically turn it into my own business and start putting everything up and look at it that way. It's the only way to make money at it, so.
Anybody else got anything? You're on the
fly. I've got something. I wanted to say thank you, to let everybody know, as far as getting information, if you're interested in learning about trapping, there's certain amounts of information you can get from videos, and there's certain amounts you can get from books.
Right.
But there is literally no comparison to personal instruction.
Absolutely.
I can only speak from personal experience for Predator Control Group and NJ Trapping, Norm and Clint. Wonderful people. I appreciate what you've done. Wonderful teachers. And Jen as well, gave me a lesson tonight, so thank you. But I just wanted to plug y'all, honestly, because I appreciate it. And to say, for anybody that wants to get training, there's just no comparison to personal. There's certain intricacies, right? If you want to be to the next level in anything, you have to get that personal instruction, because it's those details that set you apart from other people. And you can't find that in a video. No one's going to spend that much time. Doesn't make for good TV. It makes for a very long, boring book. But when you're there and you're in the trap, you're in the trenches, you're literally in the trench, the details to be able to set you apart, to be productive, that's you can only get that from that personal structure. So I just want to say I appreciate it. It's been phenomenal, and I thank you.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome.
You guys have been great students. Even you, Hunter. I've enjoyed every day looking forward to seeing what you're going to do next.
The other thing I wanted to add, kind of like Jonathan said, the thing I noticed, Clint's talked and Norm, you guys talked, back when you guys were kids, and you asked anybody about trapping, they wouldn't help you. The thing I noticed, I know I called Clint probably a dozen times in the last year, or Predator Control Group, and Clint would hit his phone, "Hey, this is Clint." And just to get the fact that you're talking actually to, Clint Locklear, a professional, and ask a question, and he'll answer it. I mean, I've only talked to Norm a few times over the phone, but any question I ever asked, they had the answer for me. And if they didn't, they thought about it, and they figured out how to answer it to my, to my extent. And it's just great, and I just want to thank you guys for the school. And
you're more welcome.
I know I can pick up the phone and call you guys and say, "Hey, this is what's going on, what do I do?" And you'll walk me through, "Hey, do this or do that." And if it doesn't work, I'll call you again and you say, "Okay, do this a little bit differently," and it's going to work out one way or another. And I really appreciate that. So.
You're welcome.
Anything else?
Everybody want a hug? We can just hug right now.
I feel like we're closing an AA meeting.
Yeah. My name is Jonathan. And I trap a lot.
One thing, Jenny, I'm very proud of you. You've done a great job this year down here, being your first year. You've caught a lot of cats, coons, and some coyotes, skinning and putting up all of our coon, cutting up all the bobcat meat. So, real proud of you. Good job.
And cooking and doing dishes.
Helping me cook.
She's the first lady of trapping.
Yeah.
We may just have to keep you around.
Mm. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and close. Like I said, I had no idea where this is going, but hopefully it was entertaining and somewhat enlightening on something. So we'll talk to y'all maybe next week or the week after.
See ya.
Yep.